Thanks for tuning into Radio 323. It's time for Power Players. This is your host, Ken Watmore. And during this program, we're going to talk to people about their stories, about how Christ has impacted their lives and what they're doing with the platform that he's given them. You and I have a story, and so does everybody else. And this is a show where we don't leave any stone unturned. We're talking to professional leaders from athletics, coaches, business leaders, entertainers, people like you and me. We all have a very unique testimony and an opportunity to share Christ with the world through it. So we're going to talk to people about just that. And hopefully you will be blessed by the next half hour or so. Sit back and enjoy the show, and then tune in every week, Monday through Friday at 9 o'clock to hear Power Players Radio. Well, thanks for joining us. We're here for another edition of Power Players Radio. I'm so glad that you're with us today. Today, I have an exceptional guest. All the guests are exceptional. They all love the Lord, and we love to share this time with you and get to know some different people in some different venues. This is a pretty cool platform. Fishing, outdoor life is something that you all who know me know I love dearly. And today, we have a... I might call you an American idol of sorts. It's Al Lindner. Al is the co-founder with his brother of In Fisherman, and is now running Angling Edge. And Al, I know there's lots more. We'll get into that in a second. Al, I want to thank you for joining us because you're dealing with pneumonia right now. You're not feeling well. We'll be lifting you up in prayer. And I'm thankful that you took the time out to join me. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and I do receive that prayer with great thanksgiving from all the listeners out there. And again, you might hear me clapping a little bit, but that thank God we got an opportunity to get together and do this interview. We've talked about it for a while already, and my schedule and your schedule, particularly my schedule, I've been wrapping up the end of our filming season here, and it's been a little bit hectic, but it's finally wrapping down as we're sitting here editing everything for the 2/11 air date. So I'm really thankful we finally hooked up, Ken.
Yeah, me too, man. Well, and you know what? Let's start there. Let's tell me how that works. Right? You film all through 2010 for your 2011 shows. Is that how that goes?
Yeah, our filming season usually starts about the middle of April, based on weather here in the North Country. And we'll shoot from the middle of April to around the end of October, like right now. And that's the season for us. In that period of time, I have to shoot 26 original segments, original pieces of programming. Almost every one of our shows, we show two different segments. It might be a walleye and a smallmouth bass, a largemouth bass and a crappie, some mix like that. So that's our season. The majority of our work is done in the upper Midwest. Once in a while, we'll do a south of the Mason-Dixon line show, but the majority of it is upper Midwest. You know, and by that, I mean we're shooting. If you draw a line, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska start sliding across through Iowa, northern Illinois, northern Indiana, northern Ohio, you know, into Pennsylvania and New York, and then cross over into Canada and sweep back around into Manitoba. That's our area of influence. That's where we do all our shooting. Well, so we're on the road pretty busy at that period of time, and we got to get done what we got to get done.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that, well, I'm not sure, but being a fisherman, I mean, every venture can't be as fruitful as you'd like it to be, I would imagine. But in those areas, you're dealing with some pretty fertile water.
Oh yeah, we're blessed to live in an area that offers some of the finest freshwater fishing in the entire world. It's in this belt that I just talked about, multi-species. Let me reiterate that, multi-species fishing, and that's what we're about. We do largemouth, smallmouth, walleyes, crappies, muskie, northern pike, you know, some trout, an occasional exotic like a carp or maybe a garfish or a sturgeon, which I term exotic. You know, do some catfishing now and then. But this area that we shoot, and we're so blessed with the quality of fishing that we have today, you know, and so many of our bodies of water is just really, really incredible. People ask me oftentimes, you get to travel all over the country, you know, what's fishing like? And I'll tell you, it's being in this business my entire life, you know, I'm pushing over 40-something years in the game, the fishing, the quality of fishing today is really darn good. you know, overall management of our management of our God-given natural resources, the responsibility we have to take care of these resources. We're doing a pretty darn good job. Naturally, there's a few ups and downs here and there, but by and large, we're in a lot better shape than we were 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I recognize that out here in Colorado, we have some excellent fishing opportunities here. One thing I recognize, and I think this probably alludes to what you're talking about too, is that, you know, we give all this media attention to environmental groups and ultra liberal organizations that, and I'm not trying to go to the political route here, but I will say this. The people who do the most to conserve our natural resources, to conserve our wetlands, our fishing areas, our hunting areas, to preserve species, to repopulate, it's the outdoorsmen and women who do that the most.
Oh, there's no question about that, Ken. And with the information available to us, to those of us that love to fish, hunt, and spend our time in God's great outdoors and enjoy His creation as much as we do, our knowledge base, the wealth of information available to us today, is much more advanced than it's ever been. And we have way more skilled anglers than we've ever seen before. And I'm sure that holds true in the world of hunting. My passion is fishing. That's what I do.
Yeah.
And the sources of information, you know, we're not living in a dark age, so to speak, anymore. We are aware of things that have happened negatively and have addressed them. And the true avid sportsmen, they don't abuse what we have out there. I mean, they're passionate about it. They love it. They want it to be as good or better for the next generation, and they're doing things about it. We're actively participating, actively being involved with organizations, and many times under the guidance of local state game and fish people that sometimes have restrictions on resources because of money, where sportsmen's clubs and sportsmen's in groups in general are there with open arms. Use us. We're there to do the labor, and they work hand in hand. And these are all part and parcel of the reasons for some of the success that we're seeing today.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's move back a little bit. You and your brother started in Fisherman, and I don't know if that's where you started in this business, this game. I don't know when it all started, but that's back in 74, 71.
Well, let me back up a little bit more than that, Ken. You might be able to tell by my voice that I got a little bit of an accent. And I was born and raised in Chicago. And apparently I still haven't gotten that accent out of my system, even though I've lived in Minnesota now for something like 40-something years. But when I was growing up as a kid in Chicago, I was actually in a tackle business then with my brother. We had a company called Linder Manufacturing, made jigs, spinner baits, musky baits, and stuff, and sold them to local retail sporting goods stores, mostly between the Chicago, Milwaukee area. When I graduated from high school, we sold that business. And my dream and my brother's dream was to make a living in the outdoor industry, but my dream particularly was to make a living fishing. And I moved to Hayward, Wisconsin to be a fishing guide. I did that for a couple of years. Then I went in the military and spent 2 years in the military, last 11 months in Nam. And it was during that period of time I kept in touch with my brother, and our dream when I came back out of the service was to kind of open a bait shop and a sporting goods store and a little guide service to complement our living. And this was a dream that we had. And while I was gone, he did a little bit of traveling and researching, and we nailed our site locations down to places like Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Maine. Well, he kind of did a little more looking, and when I got out, we ended up really picking Minnesota. And then when we came to Minnesota, we ended up settling in a town called Brainerd, and that was mainly because of the amount of lakes that are available in the area around me right now. That's the governing reason why we picked this community. And just to give the listeners an idea, in about a 50-mile radius, there's over 500 bodies of water. that I could fish. And some of them are quite big. World-renowned walleye lakes like Mille Lacs. The Mississippi River runs right through our hometown here. I've got pit and pond fishing, little bass lakes, big walleye lakes like Leech Winnie, Red. I'm not far from a lake of the woods. That's 1 million acres of water on the Canadian border. So, I mean, it was kind of a hub. I've never seen so much freshwater fishing opportunity in my life.
Wow.
You know, I says, man, this is where we want to call home. So when we started and settled here, we started a guide service, and it was called Lindy Guide Service, and that segued into Lindy Tackle Company. We started Lindy Tackle Company, and which was named a guide service, and that my brother created this little walking sinker thing that made the Lindy rig, you know, somewhat snag free.
Yeah.
And it became part of what we used on a regular basis, and the people nicknamed it Lindy's rig, and lo and behold, it became a, you know, a major tackle company that is still in existence today. And in the early 70s, we sold that to Rayovac Company. And it was at that period of time, I had a 2-year war contract, both Ron and I did, to develop more product, but to do a little bit of media involvement to create an awareness for Lindy Tackle Company and products we made. And that's when we started to do freelance writing. We started a television show, started to do in-store seminars to promote the product and beat the bush, you know, a little bit from the promotional end of the business, and really got a taste of the media end of the industry. And after a couple of years, our work contract was done, and it was up for renewal. And during that period of time, both Ron and I looked at ourselves, and we says, well, what are we going to do from here on? Do we want to renew the contract, stay in the manufacturing end of the business, or move on from there? And we both really fell in love with the media end. It was a lot more fun than making fishing lures.
Sure.
You know, in the media end, it was exciting. There was new things happening out there. I was intrigued with the television industry was just developing. You know, we started to do radio shows, started to do some writing. Sports shows were coming on the scene pretty strong, looking for speakers. All of this was in its infancy, and we were in the right place at the right time. And that media end really lit our fire in us. So we wanted to get in the media business. And shortly after that, we developed In Fisherman Communications Network. That started in 1975 when the first issue went out. We backed that with television and radio, and we built I have to call it a freshwater fishing empire.
Yeah.
For 25 years, and Fisherman occupied, you know, that was our life. That's what we did.
Yeah.
And we built it and encompassed all avenues of media, books, DVDs, television shows. At one point, we were playing at 800-plus radio stations 6 days a week. You know, we did numerous television shows. We had a walleye programming that was aired and syndicated. We had In Fisherman as a standard television show, numerous species-specific publications. A lot of things were going extremely well. And along the way, the media industry in the 1990s kind of got caught up in this frenzy of buying up all kind of media conglomerates.
Yeah.
And I got a call, you know, on a follow-up from a large New York-based company, you know, if we'd be interested in selling. They were looking at growth potential, and they were in acquisition mode, and they were watching what we were doing, particularly Leisure Field. Appealed to them. And one thing led to another. We were never out on the market, out on the street to be up for sale. But over that period of time, I met with him on my way to a sports show in Minneapolis, had a cup of coffee. This guy was flying in the East Coast and I was going south. And so I met with him and gave me a little background on a company. At that time, it was called Prime Media. Still in business today, and sure. a big operation. And we kind of talked back and forth for a number of times, sent some information back and forth, and they made an offer after a year. And I looked at this offer and talked to my brother and sister-in-law and my wife and I, and do we make this move or not? You know, we prayed on it, obviously, like we do on every major and minor decision, but this was one of the most major decisions you're going to make in your life. The handful of decisions we make that are, you know, put you at a fork in a road that are going to impact your life forever. And, you know, we're sitting here looking at this, and we decided for a number of reasons. I had my wife had just got basically had finished a bout with breast cancer. And Prescott, and I've got to say, she's like totally cancer free now, awesome. Healed and whole by the stripes of Jesus. And we're free. She was cancer free and very involved, you know, in anything to do with recovery in a cancer area. And her butt. I had to reevaluate my life. I was running so hard for 25 years through many of these things, building a major business like that, and realizing that I basically could have lost her at this point in time. My sons were basically grown up, you know, out of the house, starting their lives and their careers. And it was a point in my life where I had to reevaluate everything. And Ron is 10 years my senior, and they basically said, meaning they, my brother and my sister-in-law, who are our partners, I said, if you want to sell, fine. If you don't, fine. We're blessed. What a way to make a living. You're doing what you love to do. You're kind of the, you know, the front person for all of this. If we sell, they're going to put the golden handcuffs on you. You know, if you want to do this, fine. If you don't want to do it, fine. We really don't care. You go make the call. I said, thanks a lot, guys. And my wife said the same thing. She says, you love what you're doing. She says, whatever you want to do. You guys pray. You pray in it. You make the call. And I did. And the Lord, after, you know, like I said, after a period of time, my spirit man said, I'm ready. Yeah, you know, but that led that it was time. So when we sold in Fisherman, I had a 2-year work contract. We sold the company. I had a 4-year non-compete, first of all, which is standard in most businesses like this. During that 4-year non-compete, I had a 2-year work contract. And in that period of time, my whole job was to reorganize the management team at In Fisherman and get myself out of a job. So I wasn't involved in the day-in, day-in operation. All the decision-making process, reorganized the whole structure to report to a large corporate conglomerate from a small family-owned business. So that was my job for 2 years. Then I signed a 1-year work contract after that to continue to simply host television and provide 4 DVDs, 1-hour DVDs for the company. Then after the last year, I kind of didn't do much of anything. And that was the last year of the non-compete. It was during that period of time that I was running at home in the morning. It was February, cold Minnesota winter day. And usually I do a lot of my prayer time in the morning on a running machine, and I just enjoy doing that, and it's part of my lifestyle. And the Lord started to lay this vision on me about the Edge television show, the format of it. And basically, what he said to me is, I want you to get back in television.
Yeah.
And I want you to go through television. And again, it's something you like to do, but I want you to give me praise, glory, and honor in the way you're going to do it. And the more I did that morning in prayer on a running machine, he kind of laid this picture in front of me. I went upstairs, grabbed a cup of coffee, sat down with my wife, and I kind of went over everything with her. She looked at me. She says, you love it. You love the media and you love doing television. The Lord is leading you there. You got to do it. I picked up the telephone, talked to my brother and sister-in-law who were down in Florida. And I jumped on an airplane. Mary and I flew down there. I went over it with them again. And my sister-in-law kind of looked at me and said, here we go again. So the Linder Media production was born along with my nephews, Jim and Danny, who kind of had a contract from Rapala. They actually started Linder Media Production, but we brought the Angling Edge into them to produce the show.
Yeah.
And the idea was to bring a biblical emphasis, you know, involved in the television show and all we do. And that was what I was called to do. And I know that with all my heart. And that's what we're doing today. And the Lord has just blessed the fruits of our labor beyond belief. Today, Linder Media Productions doesn't only do The Edge. And we produce lots of stuff for lots of companies. Just to give you an example, we'll be producing and have in the past produced the FLW Walleye Tour that plays on Versus. We did some of the Bass stuff, their tournament tours that play on there. We produce a television show called Pros Pointers that airs in the upper Midwest for the Glorbegan Twins, which is part of Wired to Fish. Numerous commercials for major manufacturers in the industry, people that watch television and fishing shows. We do Rapala stuff. We're working on a major project with them right now that we'll be shooting Thursday and Friday. We do loads of work for Rapala projects. We've done them for Berkeley, Lund Boats, Mercury Motors, State of Minnesota. The list goes on and on and on of the companies we've been fortunate enough to work with. So that's where we are today. That kind of ran you through pretty much my life.
Well, it's awesome. And what's so cool, we love watching the different programs we get to see. We see them through Versus here, through our provider. And, I love that you there's scripture in the shows. I see it rolling through the shows. You're free to talk about the Lord, your relationship with Him. But and you influence people through media and through your history. You know, you've got the credential, you've got the reputation, so that people want to pay attention to the things that they want to see through fishing and learn, you know, through that sport that they love. But they also are getting a taste of Christ through your show. But I love the fact that with all these other companies that you work with that are not necessarily Christian companies, you're influencing the people there as well. And that's really important in our culture today, that we have an influence beyond just the venue and platform that God's given us for the attention of media and things like that. But the people that you influence behind the scenes with Rapala and the, you know, Mercury and things like that, very important, critical elements of what you do.
Well, I'll tell you, that's an interesting point that you brought up there, Ken, because I've sat with these companies in many of the major boardrooms across the country, you know, when you're selling these shows and you're with agency people and people that definitely are not Christian by a long shot.
Yeah.
But they have support us for a simple reason. The main reason is bottom line, when you get through everything, I sell product for them.
Yep.
That's why they're there. Yeah. You know, and they have never, and I've had numerous people in business ask me this question. They come to me, how can you be so bold in making that statement and work with these major publicly held giant conglomerates and nobody ever question you? I have not ever been challenged by anybody in a corporate arena of the companies that we were. Now I get consumer emails and letters that are rather interesting, you know, but none from the corporate arena. And we are working with absolute leaders in all aspects of the industry, and I believe that's God's favor on what we do. In fact, I don't believe it. I know it is God's favor.
Absolutely.
And I'm doing what I'm called to do. And I believe, and I don't want to sound boastful or silly on this thing. I know many of your listeners can relate late to this. When the Lord calls you to do something, He will also give you the anointing to do it and do it right. And, you know, He'll guide you. He'll open doors for you. He'll put you in the right place at the right time. And as long as He gets the glory and honor out of it, that's what we're called to do. And I believe every believer, no matter who you are listening to this today, no matter what you're walking or what you're called to do in life, that's what we all have to do. Somebody has to hear our testimony. There's a scripture in Matthew 25, I believe it is, where it says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." To me, that's a strong scripture, and that means get out there and be bold, show the world that you are good at what you do, and you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's funny because the bigger parent ministry of what I do is a community outreach thing. This, you know, the media thing is something that I love. I love doing the radio. I love having the station. It's great. It's God's deal, you know, and He gets all the glory for that. But the community outreach thing, one of the things that I do is reach into that business community and try and put them in opportunities to serve for the kingdom. And I go to secular businesses with that. And the reason is something that, you know, you and I maybe just touched on is people, it's okay that people are going to profit from caring as long as God's getting the glory. He'll bless the deal if He's getting the glory and it's for His purpose and it's by His design. Once it becomes a personal, self-driven thing, it's over. It's not going to work.
That's right. That's right.
It's going to ruin our reputation as Christians and what we stand on. So I see that. And there's, I think these big companies, seeing you come in, they know that the bottom line is going to be enhanced. You can sell product for them. And by the way, while you're at it, guess what? They're going to hear a little bit of the gospel. It's wonderful.
And, understand the feedback that from the show. I've got, Ken, I can show you email after email and call after call of the lives that have been touched and changed and have come to know the Lord Jesus, and are simply because of those closings. And it's amazing, so many times in a day of work, when you're having one of those challenging days or weeks with a contract, or waiting for a, if you're facing a cash flow challenge and you're supposed to have been paid by this partner or that partner, and you're looking at payroll coming up, and all of a sudden you get an email come across or something like that, and it's like the Lord will bless you with those things when you need to hear them the most, when you're kind of down and out sometime, and all of a sudden you know, he knows that you need that. You'll get one of those blessings that this is why you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you're doing it.
That's right. Sometimes it's just a breath, too. It's just a breath that you need, and it's great. He is awesome in the way he reminds us that he's there and who he is. I mean, he truly is amazing.
When you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear and to become more sensitive, you know, to what the Holy Spirit is telling you and showing you these things, it's so important in our daily walk. And you know, as Christians, we're the closest thing that they're ever going to see to a Bible, because they've never opened it before. You know, they're looking at us.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and that seed plant in many cases is strong. And I've had people for years and years and years say, we watched you, we heard this, we listened to this. And one day, you know, our job, we were just watering and watering and watering. And somewhere along the way, somebody pulled them out of the darkness and led them into the kingdom. But our job was, at this point, water, and they listened, and they just seen it. And it went for years and years and years. And then all of a sudden, praise God, they're in the Lamb's Book of Life. I love it.
Absolutely. Well, I also want to touch on because I think our listeners will be blessed by something else, and that's that you and Ron have a book. Why don't you tell us about the book, how that came about, and I don't know, maybe you have several books, but I know that on your website, you have probably a kind of recent book.
We've written a lot of fishing books, but this one is not a fishing book. It's titled First Light on the Water, and it's a lot about a personal reflection on some of the highlights of things that happened in our careers, and how we dealt with them, and how the Lord got us through this situation or that situation. And the chapters are all, Ron does a chapter, I do a chapter, and our wives have made some comments. It was a real blessing to be able to do a book like this. And if anybody is interested, it's a great gift. Yeah, you know, particularly if you know somebody that doesn't know the Lord and loves the fish, they will be fascinated with it. It's a strong seed plant. But anybody that enjoys fishing, business in general, I think they'll be blessed by the book. And it's called First Light on Water, and if you can't get it in your local, a lot of it is in a lot of the Christian bookstores. If the easiest way to get it is go to our website, anglingedge.com, and you can pick a copy up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Anglingedge.com. And for all our listeners, you'll be able to see lots of other stuff there. I know you've got Mary Lindner's Big Challenge highlighted on the homepage there.
Yeah.
See the breast cancer ribbon on that, and I'm sure that's exactly what it's going to benefit. You can tell us a little bit about that as well. I'd love to get everybody involved as they can with what you're doing, because I just love what you're doing, man.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to share some of those things with you today, and I count my blessings every day just to have an opportunity to share what we're sharing today to so many people out there, the truth and power of God's word for those that believe and act on it.
Absolutely. And again, it's Al Lindner. It's anglingedge.com. I apologize to the listeners. We had a few spots where there was a little lag in our communication, but I think they'll be able to hear it just fine. And the stuff you shared today was awesome. I've been wanting to hear this because, Al, my father-in-law and my dad both have been, you know, fans for some time. My father-in-law.
Don't worry about it. Somebody's ringing here. Let it go.
That's right.
Okay, they're done.
I'll let it go for another sec here and see.
Yeah. That was wasn't supposed to happen. The only one's got my direct line that would probably be a handful of people like my son. Okay, they're done.
Okay.
They're done.
So, yeah, you know, I've been wanting us to talk. My father-in-law and my father both are fans, and my father-in-law passed away, you know, just over a year ago, came to know the Lord before he passed, and that's a wonderful blessing. But a fisherman, both of them fishermen, my father, my fishing buddy for years, excuse me, and, you know, I'm excited that he'll get to hear this show. And, you know, there's people like that. And for our listeners, there's people like that in your life who have been fishing partners or friends, or it becomes that common ground that you get to talk about around the water cooler. And this might be a great opportunity for you to share this program with them. It'll be on our archives page as well through our podcast. People will be able to listen in and hear a little bit about your story. And again, I want them to be able to plug into Angling Edge. I think anglingedge.com is a great blessing to any sportsman, man or woman. And it'll give them opportunities to get plugged in and to get little pieces of God's word. And, you know, it's just a great venue. How cool is it, Al, that God used fishing and fishermen in so many ways and places through his scripture?
It is one of the things that has touched my life so much when I get through the word of God and look to me. Jesus had a special place in his heart for water and fishing, and that's quite apparent in fishermen. And interestingly enough, a lot of listeners might not be aware of this. The majority of the highest rated outdoor television show hosts in fishing are born again brothers in the Lord. A lot of people don't know that. The majority of the highest rated fishing shows. Some of them are a little quiet about their walk. Some of them are much bolder. But the majority of the highest rated shows are all Christian brothers.
Yeah, it is awesome, man. It is awesome. Well, Al, I appreciate you so much coming on the program and spending some time with us. I pray that people will just be touched and blessed by this. And I know I am blessed just to know you. And I look forward to us knowing each other better. Someday, maybe you and I will throw a line in the water together. I'd sure love that. And, you know, we'll just look forward to the next time we get to talk.
Hey, I look forward. If I ever get in the Denver area, which sometime I will, you might be getting a call for me to enjoy some of the surrounding Denver lakes. I understand there's some pretty good fishing, like in and around the community itself, right around town, especially muskie.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's some great muskie. I'm not, you know what, I got to tell you, I learned to fly fish when I got out here. I grew up in Florida, was a spin fisherman all my life, or live bait, and mostly in the ocean. But I started fishing largemouth bass with my father, and got a passion for freshwater fishing. Out here, there's some great lakes with great walleye, muskie, northerns. They're here. My brother-in-laws are probably better fishermen, but we'll hook you up with them, and we'll all go out together and have some fun. There is some excellent fishing right around here.
I look forward to it, brother.
Thank you so much. AnglingEdge.com, Al Linder, great guest today. Great job. Well, that wraps another edition of Power Players Radio. Thanks for joining us again. You can listen to the program Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. right here on Radio 323. And if you missed a show, go to the website, radio323.com. Subscribe to our podcast. You can always get the programs downloaded right into your iTunes through the podcast, or you can go to our archives page at the same location, radio323.com. Go to the archives page and see any show you might have missed or any show you didn't know existed. It might be there. Check it out. See who we've had on the program, and then give us your feedback. Drop me an email anytime, ken@project323.org. I'd love to hear from you, and keep tuning in to Radio 323 for all this great programming. Help support our ministry if you would. You can go online also and make a secure donation, one time or a recurring monthly donation. We appreciate your support. Keep this very unique Christian programming coming at you. We combine all the elements of Christian radio right here in one place. Talk, sports, music, study, family programming. We put it all in one spot. You don't have to go from dial to dial, and you can listen in while you're surfing the web or while you're working. It's always safe to stream. Again, we appreciate you so much here on Radio 323, and we'll look forward to having you tune in again tomorrow.